Hello and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. Have you ever had a nemesis? Someone you just didn't get along with? For Rembrandt, that person is Pete Poliker. Please join me today as we meet the thorn in Rembrandt's side in the story, Pete Poliker. The moral of today's parable is found in Proverbs 11:17. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. Rembrandt didn't tell anyone at the restaurant when he applied to work at the Ford plant. He didn't want them to know that secretly he wanted more than just a job to pay the bills. He longed for a career. He dreamed of one day owning a small bungalow with a driveway for his very own Saab. He imagined commuting to a job in some other exciting city. Motivated by his dream, he applied at the Ford plant. It was intended to be the first step on his way to management. But it was not to be. Unbeknownst to him, the world was shifting beneath his feet. The captains of industry, the movers and shakers of the financial world, were in crisis. As a result, Rembrandt didn't get the job he wanted. A week later, the news broke that the entire automotive industry collapsed. Entire plants closed. Thousands of people lost their jobs. Among those thousands was Pete Poliker. Pete spent the last 4 years as an engineer in the design department at Ford. He joined Ford with a bravado bordering on the ridiculous. In his tenure, he had unsuccessfully attempted to design airbags for children, a front and rear anti-lock drum brake system, and a convertible top for the minivans. It was no surprise to anyone that he was the first in his department to be let go. Rembrandt hadn't thought of Pete in years. The two attended McMaster University together. Back in those days, a bunch of students lived in Irvis Heights, a complex of four buildings. The westernmost building bordered on a deep, wooded valley that served as the unofficial dumping ground for old tires, shopping carts, and other free-cycled treasures. It was in Hidden Valley that Rembrandt first met Pete Poliker. In the summer, the valley looked like a garbage dump. In the winter, under a thick blanket of fresh-fallen snow, it resembled a pristine wonderland. Students would frequently abandon their studies and plunge into the valley to play. A favorite game was Capture the Flag. It was during one of these games that Rembrandt first met Pete Poliker. It was a week before Christmas exams and everyone was restless. Early in the game, both teams were fanning out across the valley floor. What Rembrandt didn't know was that Pete had snuck into the valley the night before to set snare traps along strategic paths. Rembrandt felt a wire snap like a vise around his boot and flip him head over heels. Before he could blink, he was hanging by his left leg from a tree. Pete soon arrived, laughing hysterically. "Let me down!" yelled Rembrandt. Pete just kept laughing. "I mean it! Let me down!" barked Rembrandt. Pete ran off through the valley, howls of laughter echoing through Rembrandt's ears. He hung there so long, his foot went numb. And although his ankle bore deep bruises for a month, they didn't hurt nearly as much as his pride. Rembrandt was reunited with Pete one fateful morning while riding his bicycle to the Morton's Coffee Pub. It was a beautiful day. A gentle breeze swept in from the lake. Rembrandt sat back and soaked up the sun while he waited at an intersection. He glanced over as a red Porsche Cayenne pulled up beside him. As he admired it, the front passenger side window opened. It took a few seconds for Rembrandt's eyes to adjust to the dark-tinted interior of the Porsche. It was the voice he recognized first. "Rembrandt?" "Yes," replied Rembrandt. He leaned in for a closer look.
"Rembrandt, it's me, Pete Poliker from McMaster."
Rembrandt's face reddened as the memories flooded back. He looked at the Porsche, thinking of what might have been.
Oh, hey, what's up? Rembrandt asked, nonchalantly.
Life, it's great, just great, Pete lied.
The truth was quite the opposite. A year before the economic collapse, his wife filed for divorce. The prenuptial agreement left him with nothing. It was only out of the kindness of his ex-wife's heart that he was left with the Porsche. Now that he was unemployed, it was up for sale.
Nice bike, said Pete.
Rembrandt glared at Pete through his sunglasses. He stretched himself to his full height and replied,
Thanks, it's a hybrid that I've customized with a carbon fiber front fork.
Right, answered Pete indifferently.
Where are you off to?
Work.
Yeah, where do you work? Pete asked.
Morton's just down the street, said Rembrandt.
I've never been, Pete said.
The light turned green and Pete drove away. Rembrandt's heart dropped when he discovered Pete's Porsche in the parking lot of the Mortons. His headache started when he saw Pete laughing with Doreen at the counter.
Remy, said Doreen, I would have paid money to see you hanging upside down from a tree. That would have been so pathetic. It must have been adorable.
Adorable? No. Pathetic? Definitely, said Pete. The two of them broke out laughing. Rembrandt's headache erupted into a full migraine when he saw Butch sit down across from Pete. An application lay between them on the table. The two of them spent an hour telling jokes and laughing. Rembrandt did his best to ignore them, but they were the loudest people in the restaurant. Eventually, Pete left, and Butch returned to his office. Butch was still laughing out loud.
Remy, your friend's hilarious.
By the way, he used you as a reference. He said you wouldn't mind. You'll be glad to know he starts tomorrow. Rembrandt closed his eyes and rubbed his temples.
You okay? Butch asked.
I have a migraine, said Rembrandt.
Oh, then take the rest of the day off if you have to. We'll be fine, said Butch.
Oh, how about the rest of my life? Mumbled Rembrandt.
What? Asked Butch.
Nothing, said Rembrandt. It doesn't really matter. My headache will be here again tomorrow.
It's up to you, said Butch, as he slipped off into the office. If you're feeling better tomorrow, you get to train Pete.
That night, Rembrandt wrestled with his pillow. The following morning, sunlight poured through the windows. Rembrandt got to the restaurant early and loaded up with coffee. He hoped the caffeine high would help. Pete entered the restaurant like a rock star.
Pitter-patter, let's get at her, he said.
Rembrandt felt for his pulse. With any luck, he'd get sick and have to leave. Everything was fine. Like a man bracing for the worst, Rembrandt got up and handed Pete an apron and a name badge. He brought Pete into the back to teach him how to clean. Pete blew him off with a wave of his hand.
I know how to clean, he said.
He didn't. Pete washed the floors with dish soap and scrubbed down the counters with a toilet brush. When Augustus the baker yelled at him for throwing out a dozen honey crullers, Pete responded,
Look, I did the people a favor. Nobody should have to eat that.
After being chased from the kitchen, Rembrandt moved Pete into the restaurant. Rembrandt hoped to keep a closer watch over him. Rembrandt instructed Pete on the process of making new pots of coffee.
The old pots have to be dumped every 20 minutes, explained Rembrandt.
Pete yawned. An hour passed quietly. Then a single customer complained about their coffee. Then another. Before anyone had figured out what was going on, the staff was overwhelmed with complaints. One irate customer threw his coffee at the front counter, splashing myrtle.
What's going on? Asked Herbie.
I have an idea, said Rembrandt. He found Pete dancing at the counter in front of the coffee machines. He was oblivious to everything else around him.
How's it going? Asked Rembrandt.
Can you believe I get paid for this? He said.
Not for long, thought Rembrandt.
There have been complaints about the coffee, he said.
Can't do anything about that. It's not my fault Morton's makes lousy coffee, said Pete.
Listen, the coffee's fine. We've never had this many complaints before, said Rembrandt.
Maybe the customers are getting more discerning, suggested Pete.
The only thing different about the coffee is you, said Rembrandt.
Well, he said as though letting Rembrandt in on a secret,
I was thinking, look at all this coffee we use for each pot. Then we dump it. I figure there's got to be at least another pot in there. It could save the place a bundle.
Pete proudly lifted up a pot of coffee. It looked more like beef broth than coffee.
You shouldn't be able to see through a pot, said Rembrandt. He could feel his temples throb. Would you drink this? Pete scowled. I don't drink coffee, he said. Look, if it's such a big deal, then I'll toss in a few extra grounds to darken it up. Pete ripped open another bag of coffee and poured it in the pot. Rembrandt took a deep breath to calm down.
People don't want to drink coffee grounds, he said, clenching his teeth.
They won't. We'll let them settle to the bottom and we'll serve the top part, Pete said cheerfully. He reached down and placed his hand on Rembrandt's shoulder. It's all right. We can't all be peons.
Peons?
Rembrandt was visibly shaken. Pete looked sincerely shocked. I'm sorry, he said. I didn't know you knew what that meant. Rembrandt looked up at the clock. It was almost time for the lunch rush.
It's time to talk. Let's go to the office, he said.
Great idea, said Pete. I've got a few more great ideas. I'll even let you take credit for a few so you won't look so bad.
You're this close to being fired, said Rembrandt.
Pete looked genuinely surprised. Slowly, his expression turned into recognition.
I get it. You're jealous, he said. You can't stand that I look better than you.
I've always known it. I should have seen it coming.
Jealous? What? Sputtered Rembrandt. I'm your supervisor.
For now. But it won't be long until I'm running things. Maybe I'll even start my own place, said Pete.
Rembrandt sighed. You either do things the way you're taught or you're gone, he said.
The two sized each other up, each waiting for the other to blink. Rembrandt could hear the distant sounds of activity in the restaurant. He couldn't blink first.
Okay, Pete finally said. His expression became solemn as though he finally grasped the gravity of the situation. I really need this job, he said.
And? Asked Rembrandt. Pete lowered his head and whispered, You're in charge.
Pete's admission shook Rembrandt to his core. He sensed something had changed. It was as though the weight of 1,000 embarrassments had been lifted from his shoulders.
You should probably apologize to Myrtle, too, suggested Rembrandt.
Okay, said Pete.
All right, then, said Rembrandt. They need us in the front. You know, lunch rush.
Satisfied with the breakthrough, Rembrandt felt like things were looking up. He was no longer Rembrandt, the butt of the joke. Today, he earned respect.
Pete opened the office door and took a step out, then turned back to Rembrandt and said,
When I become manager, do I have to wear an ugly tie like yours, or can I wear something cool?
I hope you enjoyed listening to the story, Pete Poliker. Please join us again next week for another Rembrandt parable. Until then, good day and God bless.